I'm Steve Scher. Could a troop of typing monkeys produce the works of Shakespeare? Given enough time, maybe, but doubtful. You probably don't have enough time in the world, in the universe. But could you win the lottery twice? Yes. Given the number of tickets available, the number of people playing, and the odds that the winning numbers will come up, then some lucky dog will win, eventually, maybe twice. Does that make it a miracle? Nope, just statistics. David J. Hand is a statistician, professor at the Imperial College in London. He's written The Improbability Principle, Why Coincidences, Miracles, and Rare Events Happen Every Day, as a way to explain that, amazing as they might be, the amazing is probable. How is it that somebody wins the lottery and then they win again? How can that happen?
Well, and the first thing to observe about that, of course, is how unfair it is, since most of us don't win once.
You know, you started this book by looking at the question of just what it is that's happening when we think about things that seem improbable. What is improbability? What do we mean by that?
Yeah. In this book, what I'm dealing with are things which seem to be so unlikely that you would expect to see them very, very rarely, or perhaps not at all. In fact, there's an eminent mathematician called Emile Borel who coined a law, Borel's law, which says that sufficiently improbable events are impossible. What he meant was that in practical human terms, if it's sufficiently improbable, you're not going to see it in your lifetime, so you should act as if it's impossible.
The monkeys typing up Shakespeare.
Ah, good example. Nice example, yes. I mean, if you had enough monkeys and you kept them going for long enough, which would be, you know, billions and billions and billions of years, they would produce the complete works of Shakespeare. But that timescale is so long, longer than the history of the universe, you might as well forget it. It's impossible in practical terms.
Well, and what are we trying to understand when you talk about the improbability principle?
Yeah. What I mean by I've described the improbability principle in a single sentence. It says extremely improbable events are commonplace. It's a sort of opposite of Borel's law. Extremely improbable events are commonplace. They happen all the time. So it's a sort of contradiction. If it's extremely improbable, you wouldn't expect to see it happen. That's what Borel's law tells us. But I argue that we do see them. As you started by saying, we do see people occasionally win the lottery twice. We do see people get struck by lightning. We do have strange events happen to us. You think of somebody and a moment later they phone you. Or you bump into an old friend in a strange town, totally unexpectedly. These sorts of things do happen. So improbable events are, in fact, commonplace. And what the book does, what the improbability principle does, is decompose that sentence and work and give you reasons for this, for extremely improbable events being commonplace. It does this in terms of five laws: the law of inevitability, of truly large numbers, the law of selection, the law of the probability lever, and the law of near enough. These things work together to make what appear to be extremely improbable events happen all the time.
All right, so give me an example of that first law. What are we talking about here?
The law of inevitability. This is a good one to start with because it's the most basic. And when I tell you what it is, you'll say, well, that's obvious, isn't it? How can that be of any consequence or importance? The law of inevitability says something must happen. So if I flip a coin, we know it's going to come up heads, or it's going to come up tails, or something else is going to happen. It's going to fall down a crack in the floor or something like that. So there are three possibilities: heads, tails, or other. And we know that one of those three things is going to happen. It must happen. There are only three things that can happen. So it's inevitable that one of those three things will happen. Now, you might think, well, that's pretty obvious and pretty basic, not a very deep thought, and yes, I'd agree. But you can actually take advantage of it. A simple, conceptually simple way to take advantage of it, although practically it turns out to be quite complicated, is to buy all the possible tickets in a lottery. If you did that, the law of inevitability, you'd have everything covered. You would be guaranteed to be holding the jackpot winning ticket.
David J. Hand is the author of The Improbability Principle, Why Coincidences, Miracles, and Rare Events Happen Every Day. All right, so how does the law of truly large numbers help us understand why miracles can happen, in quotes,
okay.
Miracles?
This is after the law of inevitability, the law of truly large numbers is probably the other most straightforward law. And again, as soon as I explain it, you'll say, ah, yes, that's obvious. The law of truly large numbers just says that if you have enough opportunities, you can guarantee getting any outcome. So a simple example would be, I want to get 20 heads in a row on a coin toss, or 20 blacks coming up in a roll of a roulette wheel. Well, if you keep flipping that coin for long enough, maybe millions of times, you keep rolling that roulette, spinning that roulette wheel long enough, you will get those things happen just by chance. So with a large enough number of opportunities, any outrageous thing is likely to happen. That's the law of truly large numbers.
David Hand is a mathematician. He's former president of the Royal Statistical Society, the chief advisor, scientific advisor to Winton Capital Management. He's written the book, The Improbability Principle. How do I use this information? How do I think about it? Because you start a chapter in your book quoting Marshall McLuhan. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. So part of this is how we perceive things.
The five laws of the improbability principle are about the mathematics of how the universe comes together and produces these events, which you should in fact expect. They're not that rare. But then the human mind comes in on top of that and we notice things. If an unusual word crops up and then we read the unusual word again in quick succession, we notice it. When the phone rings and it turns out to be the friend you were just thinking of, you notice it. You don't really take account of it when the phone rings and it's not somebody you were thinking of, it's somebody completely different. So the human brain has a sort of tendency to notice these things and ignore all the other trillions of boiling and buzzing events which are going on around us at the same time. We notice the ones which appear to have sort of meaning for us. You know, there's a very good evolutionary reason for noticing things which have meaning for us. It has saved us from getting eaten by predators, and it tells us what food is safe for us to eat and so on. But that's why it happens. And when you lay that sort of human behavior, the aspect of the human mind, on top of the mathematical laws of the improbability principle, then you get the fact that extremely improbable events are in fact commonplace.
Explaining these things, coincidences, miracles, rare events, the fact that they happen every day should not reduce our wonder and sense of the amazing universe we live in.
In 2012, I went to the Royal Statistical Society conference. I checked into my hotel, went up to the receptionist and said, "I'm David Hand." She looked at her computer screen and said, "But you've already checked in." I had a moment's doubt, but I said, "No, I haven't. I've only just got here." She said, looking at her screen again, "I see there are two David Hands with us this week." And my first reaction was, "Gosh, wow, what an unusual coincidence. I must track this other guy down." In fact, I then discovered, for instance, in the US, there are 300 David Hands, and doing the calculations, not at all surprising that I should have bumped into one during my life. The example I often give to show that understanding a phenomenon doesn't detract from the awe, excitement, the sense of wonder is the rainbow. We all understand the physics of the rainbow and how light bounces around inside raindrops and is refracted and split into its component colours. But that doesn't mean that when we see a rainbow arching across the sky, we don't think, "Gosh, isn't that wonderful?"
A new version of Cosmos is coming on, and Neil deGrasse Tyson was being interviewed, and somebody said, "Well, a scientist at NASA is predicting that we'll know if there's life in the universe within 10 years. And his response was, "Well, you're talking about microbes underneath Mars' surface? Well, we might know that within 10 to 20 years. Are you talking about intelligent life? Well, that's a much greater calculation. There's a lot of more information we're going to have to find."
Identifying life is one thing. Knowing that there is life somewhere out there is another thing. And if you look at the number of stars in our galaxy and the number of galaxies in the universe, we are talking about a truly large number. It would just be incredible if there wasn't life somewhere else in the universe as well as on Earth.
David J. Hand has written The Improbability Principle, Why Coincidences, Miracles, and Rare Events Happen Every Day.